Thank you for your welcome. It's good to be with you today. It's quite a number of years since I was here last. In fact, it was when you were still meeting in your old building. So I rejoice with you in what God has enabled you to do in raising up this beautiful building to His glory and for His use. It is a wonderful sight indeed, and I do rejoice with you in God's provision for you. Well now, 2 Peter chapter 1 and words in verse 1, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by or in the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If you are familiar with the letters of Peter, you will know that Peter loves the word precious. Read the letters, look for the word precious in the letters of Peter. He obviously realized that what he had in the Lord Jesus Christ was something very precious, something of great value and worth. And I wonder, did he value what he had all the more? Because humanly speaking, he came within a hair's breadth of losing it all. I will never deny you, he had said. Sincerely, I'm sure. But at that point, he still didn't know his own heart well enough to know what he was capable of. And the Lord Jesus had to say to him, you remember, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Precious faith, like precious faith. I've prayed for you that your faith will fail not. And when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. And that's what he's doing in these letters. He's valuing what he has. It's so precious to him. He nearly lost it. And now he values it all the more. We find that, don't we? Sometimes it's only when we lose something, or only if we come near to losing something, that we really value fully what we have or what we had. I'm sure it was with Peter. And so he is writing to them of the precious things which he has. And he wants them to value. In fact, he tells us his reason for writing. Verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. That word, stir you up, literally, I desire to awaken you, to arouse you. I don't want you to fall asleep with regard to these truths. You have precious possessions. Are you falling asleep with regard to them? Well, I'm writing to you to remind you. I'm not writing to you, he'll say to them, anything that you don't already know. I'm reminding you of things that you know. But the danger is, because we know them and are so familiar with them, we might fall asleep with regard to them. And I want to arouse you. I want to awaken you, he says. And I'm writing to stir you up. I'm writing to awaken you. What a lovely thought. Peter, the awakener. And I'm sure that that is the desire of every preacher as he preaches, that God will use him to awaken his own heart. I tell you, I've been praying this week, Lord, awaken my heart to these precious things, so that he might awaken our hearts to realize what we have. Now, Peter is very realistic as well when he writes to them, and he's not far into his first letter when he reminds them, though, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So he's very aware of what God's people can be going through. He's not writing insensitively. He's aware of trials. He's aware of testings. He's aware of persecutions. He's aware of what we are going through. But he knows that the temptation in the trials is to lose sight of who we are and to lose sight of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the temptation is then to envy those who we feel are having an easier time, or to feel sorry for ourselves because we are going through such difficulties. The psalmist was honest enough. Psalm 37, I envied the wicked, he said. Psalm 73, there we are, two psalms. And it just struck me that if you want to know the two psalms in which the psalmist is honest enough to tell us he envied unbelievers, the two psalms are 37 and then reverse it, 73. So as long as you remember the one, then you can remember the other. And in those two psalms, he's honest enough to say, I envied unbelievers. I thought what a hard time I'm having and what an easy time they are having. And I envied them. Well, Peter's aware that these dear people of God are going through trials and testings. Perhaps you are. Perhaps you have been. And plus the temptation is to lose sight of what you have in Christ and to think that others have it much better than you, and to think that perhaps you'd be better off if you weren't a believer. Such are the real temptations, and Peter's aware of this, and so he wants to remind them of precious things. And here in his second letter, having done so in his first letter, of course, chapter 1 of his first letter, faith more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, like precious faith. Peter says, what a precious thing true faith is. Do you realize that if you have true faith, you have something which is more valuable than gold? And Peter uses the word gold to represent all the rich things of this temporal world. Rich possessions, rich relationships, and some of these things in themselves are precious and worth their weight in gold. But all earthly things, all earthly treasures, all earthly riches, all earthly relationships have this fatal flaw. It is gold that perishes. That's the fatal thing about all earthly things, whether possessions or relationships or whatever they might be. It is gold that perishes. Well, says Peter, in true faith you have something which is imperishable. That's how precious. It's more precious than gold. Do you know this? That graphic and dramatic description in Revelation chapter 18 of the fall of Babylon. John, in writing, he describes the effects on people of the fall of Babylon. Chapter 18, verse 14. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more. The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travelled by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been made desolate." That city which seemed indestructible. That city which was the source of so much wealth and riches. And in fact, that word translated wealth in verse 19 of Revelation 18 comes from the same Greek word as the word for precious. Her riches and preciousness, quite literally. And John is telling us, in an hour, all the preciousness was gone. That great city, impregnable, unbeatable, undefeatable. And everyone trusted in her and in her riches. And in an hour, it was all gone. Gold that perishes. "Well," says Peter, "you have something which is so precious. More precious than gold. Like precious faith." True faith is so precious. Well, what is it that makes faith so precious? Well, first of all, because of its source, where it's come from. And the clue is in the word, "to those who have obtained like precious faith." It's something that's been obtained from outside of ourselves. It's something that we have received. It's something which has come to us. We've obtained it. And in fact, Peter uses a very unusual word here to speak of this faith which we've obtained. Literally, it's to obtain by lot. You know, the old practice in the Old Testament, and God said, "Divide out the land by lot." And that's the word that Peter uses. Because, of course, behind the word is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. "The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord." That's the point that Peter is making, you see. Every decision is from the Lord. You cast the lot, but it's God who's in control. And he decides the lot. And so it's Peter's way of saying to us, look here, this faith, it's not of yourself. It's not in your control. It's not under your control. You can't manufacture it. You can't produce it. It's been allotted to you. You've obtained it. It's Peter's way of describing what Paul said in Ephesians 2. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm reminding you, says Peter, that this faith, this true faith, is so precious because you've obtained it from God. God has allotted it to you. It's not natural to you. And of course, sometimes people speak of faith in that. Ah, well, you see, some people, they say, are more inclined to be religious. Some people are naturally religious. Some people are naturally trusting. It just depends what your nature is. It sticks in my mind, although it was 48 years ago or so, I'd not long been converted, and I was travelling back home on the late bus, the last bus from Neath. Well, I won't tell you where I'd been. I don't want to embarrass her, but there we are. So 48 years ago, I was catching the last bus home on a Saturday night from Neath, And on the last bus, of course, when you got further up the valley, I was going up to Abergwynfi, some of my former pals got on the bus. And not many months before, I'd been drinking with them on a Saturday night. And now the Lord had saved me, and now I was going home from a prayer meeting as well as from being with a certain young lady. And what's happened to you, Philip? What's happened to you? Wow. God has saved me. Jesus is my Saviour. And one of my drinking pals said to me, oh, I wish I could have faith like you. As if suddenly I'd produced this faith from somewhere within me. Somehow I've created this faith from within the hidden resources and the hidden depths of my own being. And it's a joy to be able to tell him, oh, you can have it because it's from God. And he gave it to me 6 months ago, and he can give it to you tonight. You've obtained it. It's precious because it's from God. You see, it's not natural to us. Or I remember one famous evangelist in one of his books writing, faith, he said, is like a sixth sense. We all have it. It's just that some use it and others don't. That's not so. It's not a sixth sense which we all have, and some decide to exercise it, and others decide not to exercise it. No, you've obtained it, says Peter. It's been allotted to you. The decision is in the Lord's hands, and it's come from Him, and that's what makes it precious. Oh, dear me, we've seen people on the television and they've had a card or a letter from the Queen and it's so precious to them and they show it so proudly and they say, look, from the Queen. Well, we can say, look, from the King of Kings. Precious faith. Because it's from Him. We've obtained it at God's hand. Precious faith. Says Peter, because of its source. But then, secondly, precious faith because of its object. The important thing about faith, of course, is not faith. The important thing about faith is who it's in. That's the important thing about faith. Who is your faith in? What is your faith in? It's the important thing. Do you remember how the psalmist could put it, for example? Psalm 20, as he comes to the end of that psalm, he says this, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but what are we trusting in? See, they had faith, and their faith was in their horses and their chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's what our trust is. That's what our faith is. That's what's the important thing about faith. Who is it in? Or again in Psalm 115, that lovely psalm, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory. And then in verse 8, he's been describing the idols, how they have hands that they cannot touch and ears but they cannot hear and so on. And then he says, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. How useless to trust in idols. How useless to put your faith in a God which has eyes but can't see, ears but can't hear, a mouth but can't speak, hands but can't touch, feet but can't come to your help. And all those who trust them are like them. They're as useless as the gods in whom they trust. See, the important thing about faith is who is it in? Who are you trusting? And that's why Peter tells us that this faith, this true faith, is so precious. Because it's precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Peter says, look, I'm reminding you of what you already know. But this is what makes your faith precious. It's because of who it's in. And it's in your God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a description of the Lord Jesus. Couldn't be clearer. He's our God. That's who He is. He's none other than God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and is God. He's our God. That's why He was able to say to His disciples, you remember, you believe in God? Well, believe also in Me, because that's who I am. I'm your God. And so it's faith in the living God. And it's faith in our Saviour. That God is our Saviour. Look unto Me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's faith in a Saviour. And it's faith in a Saviour who saves, because He's God. If He wasn't God, He couldn't save. It's because He's God that He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through Him. It's faith in our God and Saviour. That's what makes faith precious. Because of who it's in. It's in the Lord Jesus. And it's faith in His righteousness. Now, different translations of by righteousness, through righteousness, or in righteousness. Well, I can't go into all of that. But I'm happy because the literal Greek word is in the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's our God and Saviour. And so, Peter is pointing to the things about Him which enable Him to be our Saviour. So in the first letter, and in chapter 1, we have those wonderful words, do we not? Where we have the word precious again. It's precious faith in a Saviour. And we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The Lamb without blemish and without spot. He's our Saviour, you see. And He saves us by His blood, by His death. That's why His death is so precious to us. That's why we glory in the cross. Because it's where the Prince of Glory died. We don't glory in the other two crosses. We only glory in one cross. And why do we glory in that one cross? Because the Prince of Glory died there. Because He shed His blood there, and His blood is precious. His death is precious. And His righteousness is precious. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our righteousness will only take us to hell. His righteousness will take us to heaven. His righteousness will fit us to live with God forever and ever. It's faith in Him. It's faith in His person. He's God. It's faith in His salvation. Precious blood. Spotless righteousness. Oh, what a precious thing faith is. It unites you to Christ. It makes you one with Him. His blood becomes your atonement. His righteousness becomes your covering. How precious. Precious. Faith. And then, of course, because of all that, faith is precious, and then it makes Him precious. 1 Peter chapter 2. And to you, therefore, who believe, He is precious. Faith is precious because it joins us to Him. And then the mark of true faith, you want to know this morning, do I have the real thing? Do I have true faith? Oh, people talk about faith. What is it? How can I know? Well, here's a simple test this morning. Is Jesus precious to you? That's the question. Is Jesus precious? Is He of more value to you than everyone and everything else. Because unto you who believe, to you who have true faith, he is precious. Can't be anything else. He's my God and Saviour. Precious blood. Spotless righteousness. Oh, he's precious to me. And to you that believe, he is precious. Faith is precious because of its source. It's come from God. Because of its object, Christ. Christ himself. My faith is in him and in him alone. For life, for death, for time, for eternity. How this was brought home to me only yesterday morning again. A dear young woman, well, you realise you're getting older when you call someone in their early 50s young. dear young woman in the Carmarthen Church from Neath originally, knew her as a teenager. Well, on Friday, God took her to be with himself, 52 years of age. And she'd been battling with cancer for several years. Been deteriorating. This week had had a sudden relapse. The doctor came to see her. Doctor, is this it? Is it the end? My dear, I'm afraid it is. It's the end. Would you like me to give you something to help you to perhaps take away your fear? Oh, doctor, I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. It's the doctor who ends up in the kitchen breaking his heart because he's seen something which he can't explain. You can't come to terms with. You don't have to give me anything. I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. Precious faith. Precious faith in a precious Saviour, which enables us to live, which enables us to die. How precious. Precious faith. Precious because of its source. Precious because of its object, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Saviour. And then it's precious, finally, because of its characteristics. And, well, there's much to say about that, but I'm just here with Peter at the moment, aren't I? To those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Like precious faith with us. With us apostles, with us first believers, says Peter, do you realize, humble Christian, insignificant Christian, you who write yourself off, you who put yourself down, you who say, I'm not worthy of this, that, and the other, and of course you're not, none of us are, but oh, I'll never be like him. And you're always writing yourself off, you're always putting yourself down, you're always little timid soul. Do you realize that Peter says that that faith which you have, if it's true faith like Peter's describing, in your God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, Peter says, do you realize it's no different from the faith that I have? It's come from the same source, from the same God. It's in the same Saviour. It is like precious faith. Your faith is of equal value with mine. Your faith is of equal worth with mine. Your faith is of equal kind with mine. It's the same faith. And that's what makes it so precious as well. Because true faith numbers us with the greatest saints in our eyes and with the humblest saints. In our eyes, it makes no difference. That's exactly what Paul said. Because if we're in Christ, he says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Like precious faith. Do you realize if Paul were preaching to you this morning, if Peter were preaching to you this morning, he'd say to you, dear believer, no one's ever heard of you, and many have heard of me, but I want to tell you that your faith is of equal worth and of equal value and of equal kind with mine. It's like precious faith. Is that amazing? And that's why Paul is even able to take us back beyond the early believers. And you have those lovely words in Galatians and chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 about the faith of Abraham. I haven't time to read them all, but just this verse in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? Those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham, the friend of God. And those who are of faith, like precious faith with Abraham. Like precious faith with all the saints you care to mention. Like precious faith with all the worthies of church history. Like precious faith with all the saints of God down through the years. Like precious faith, that's its characteristic. Can't be any different. In some, yes, it grows and matures more, but in essence, it is like precious faith. That is its characteristic. And that's what makes it so precious. We are not one whit behind Peter and Paul. And Abraham, they tell us so. That's something that I'm inventing because I want to be like them and I want to be up there with them. I'll never be up there with them. But the faith that I have is like precious faith with them. Peter says so. And Peter says so by the inspiration of the Spirit. So not only is it equal? It's of equal worth and value with them. But this faith is effectual as well. This is what makes it so precious. It is effectual. It's a faith that works. It's a faith which achieves its desired goal and object. Peter puts it like this in chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Faith in Christ will bring you to its appointed end. It will bring you to its desired goal. Receiving the end, the culmination, the climax, the consummation of your faith. And the consummation is utter and entire salvation. And faith in Christ will get you there. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. This faith in Christ is effectual. It will get you there. It will take you all the way home because it's faith in Him. You see, that's how precious it is. It's such an effectual faith. Listen how Paul describes it about Abraham in Romans and in chapter 4. Abraham believed that God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according as it was spoken, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Isn't that amazing? Abram strengthened, yes, he had to be strengthened in faith. And being strengthened in faith, he considered his own body. In our AV it reads, he considers not. Apparently the point that Paul is making is this. That's the very thing he did. He considered his body and said, look at me. It's hopeless. And yet although he considered his body, he still believed God. Though he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb, he still believed God. This faith is effectual, you see. It works. It really does. This is the faith of Hebrews chapter 11. This is the faith by which Enoch walked with God. Isn't that wonderful? By faith you can walk with God. This is the faith by which Noah built the ark, fearing God but not fearing man. This is the faith by which Abram obeyed God. This is the faith by which Abram saw the promises afar off, though he did not receive them himself, of a Saviour. This is the faith by which Jacob worshipped on his bed when he was dying. This is the faith by which Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than the riches of Egypt. And what more shall I say of this faith, the writer asks? By faith, men subdued kingdoms, received their dead back to life again. By faith! This is a faith which works. This is a faith which is effectual. This is a faith to walk by, to live by, to obey by, to believe by, to worship by. It's a faith that works. It's not precious. Precious faith. Precious faith. And therefore, in that lovely hymn, now let my soul arise and tread the tempter down. My captain leads me forth to conquest and a crown. A feeble saint shall win the day, though death and hell obstruct the way. Is that how you feel yourself to be this morning? Oh, I know I do very often. A feeble saint after nearly 50 years. A feeble saint. But a feeble saint shall win the day, though death and hell obstruct the way, because the feeblest saint is looking to Jesus, and he is the captain of our salvation, and he will tread our enemies down. And so a feeble saint shall win the day. Oh, precious faith, says Peter. And I nearly lost it. I nearly threw it all away. I nearly abandoned it. But oh, he prayed for me. And he kept me. And he restored me. Oh, light, precious faith. What a precious thing I have, says Peter. Let me remind you. Let me stir you up. Let me awaken you. Let me rouse you to what you have. If you have true faith, how precious, more precious than gold that perishes. Amen.